If you have your Bibles, let's study the Word of God. We have been speaking about the work of Christ, the work of Jesus Christ. What did He do? Why did He have to come? It's so important we understand something, all right, that spiritual things are real. And whatever we see, all right, physically speaking, are reflections of things that are happening in the realm of the Spirit. And God said to Moses, He says, see that you build those things according to the pattern that we're showing to you on the mountain. As a matter of fact, the tabernacle of sacrifices existed first of all in the realm of the Spirit before Moses made a copy of them on the earth. And this, your body, this, your physical body, was created for a particular reason. David was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, when He brought the firstborn into the world, He said, sacrifice and offerings you have not desired. Therefore, a body that has prepared for me. That is, the body of Jesus was necessary to execute some things on the earth. The earth had problems. Last week, I began to speak about, in fact, let's read the scriptures and I'll pick up from that particular point. The book of Romans chapter 5, we read that last time. All right, let's read from verse 12. It said, therefore, just as through one man sin, it says, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, very important, we understand that death came into the world because of sin. Sin came first, and then death followed. I began to say this last time, that death is a very important thing people must understand. When you see all the disorder that's in the world, it is what the Bible calls death. Death is not just that somebody fell down and physically expired. That is part of it. Death occurs in different aspects. There is economic death. Are you getting my point? You see countries struggling all the time. You know, I watch news a lot, and I watch all these analyses of ongoing events in the world. And for me, why do I do that? It's actually my main reason, all right, is I use it to understand, all right, to assess spiritual things, okay? So I see things occurring in the world, and there's something that makes me, you know, America being the most prominent nation in the world right now. You watch what is happening there, and it's so easy to, you know, to be aware, because the news is always out there, all right? So watch what is happening there, and some things make me laugh. It makes me laugh in that, on one hand, a man like Barack Jeroboam Obama, all right? you know, there's Barack Hussein Obama, there's Barack Jeroboam Obama. Why are you a Jeroboam? If God brought you to office for His purpose, and you begin to execute idolatry as your purpose, then you're a Jeroboam, all right? Go and read the scriptures, you know the story about Jeroboam. So the fact that you are misbehaving does not mean that God didn't bring you to office. So you see him struggling every day, and he campaigned on the principle that they could attain economic recovery if they did things that are right. So they choose the best economists. They choose Nobel Prize winners. You take a man like Warren Buffett, and he's an advisor to the president, and they discuss things, and you are working every day to try and get death out. Get that point? You're trying to get death out of the economy. That's what you're trying to do. We are laboring every day to ensure that men had work to do, that women could be productive, that young boys, young girls could go to school, all right, with little effort and have enough money to be able to pay for their education. You want to be sure. Now, Obama is very emphatic about this, that healthcare gets to everybody. That's what is called laboring for death to come out. You see in a moment, we're going to read it from Hebrews chapter 4. And you're doing all of that. At the same time, you turn on one side. Because of lack of understanding, you turn around and try and press everything that causes death to enter into the society. You try to press them into the society. Are you seeing the irony there? Are you seeing the irony? Let me give you an example. This is just to explain it again. Those days, shock. When doctors want to treat shock, they used to bleed their patients. They did not understand that there were different kinds of shock. And that bleeding their patient only worked for one particular type. One particular type, all right? I'm not discussing that now. But there were different kinds of shock. So if a man went into shock, the doctor did some bloodletting. They removed blood from him. I know what I did to most patients. They died. Why did they die? Because the doctor tried to treat them. If the doctor had left him alone, there would have been a better chance of his surviving. When men walk in ignorance, when God doesn't give light to your eyes, you grope around in darkness, you'll be doing things that are going to complicate your situation, thinking that they are going to improve your situation. Many years ago, when I was a little boy, I used to have back pain. You have a bad back? No. Very funny. Now, because my back used to pain me, I would put a pillow on it and lie on it. You know what was causing it? later on. You know what happened was that, I was growing, went to school. I didn't complain to my mother or my father. I knew it was a serious matter. Just occasionally my back would just be aching. So once I went for clinic, University of Benin, by the time I was getting to my, well, they already doing specialty postings. I was my middle, you know, 6 years, somewhere in the middle, around fourth year. And the orthopedic surgeon was explaining something about back. And it surprised me that all I'd been doing all this while was causing myself back pain in trying to solve it. And he explained that the best way to prevent, because patients who come to clinic will examine and he will start teaching us. He was a teaching hospital, that's how medical students learn. So that was when I solved my problem. The man just explained simply. I was sleeping on the bed, I was sagging, I didn't know. I found out later. And I had this habit of lying face down. That the man explained it. I didn't know that up to that. Okay, that's why you keep learning. All right, that's why information is so powerful. Because what was I doing simply? I would lie down, face down, on the bed I was sagging. Therefore, curving my spine a bit inwards. And that was the cause of my problem. And then I would lie down flat and put a pillow under my back, thereby curving it the other way again and maintaining the problem. I didn't know. The moment he said it, of course, I never did that again. I suddenly started sleeping a different way. And that was the end of it till today. So now if I wake up with backache, I say, how did I sleep? It's simple. And I give the advice to people. How do you sleep? It's simple. Now, what I'm telling their story is that maybe something went bad one day. In trying to solve it, I began to worsen the problems. There was a time, another one I was in school. You know, being a doctor, you learn a lot of things. And, you know, you really get to understand life. I learned another principle one day. One of our lecturers explained to us, a patient they had treated with all kinds of things. His fever wouldn't go away. So the doctor just said, stop treating him. And the day they stopped, the fever disappeared. The man was having drug fever. Oh, you don't know, that's what they call drug fever. And I've heard from people, they are always going for treatment. Many of the times, your problem is the treatment. You were well until you saw that doctor. The moment you saw him, your problems commenced. I'm trying to make an issue here. Men often, in trying to solve problems, are you getting my point? They ignite a new set of problems. And many people, they are trying to solve a problem, and they are working hard on ensuring that problem does not go away. What am I saying? You look at Barack Obama, you look at America today, and I laugh. They will never come out of economic hardship. It is not possible. Why? Because the same government working hard to ensure economy improves works hard to legalize homosexual marriages. God is not mocked. Whatever a nation sows, that shall he also reap. Righteousness exalts a nation out of economic troubles. Sin is what pushes him down inside there. The Bible calls it a reproach to many peoples. It's funny. You know, listen, I'm saying it boldly. They will never come out of that economic hardship until they reverse this attitude. Oftentimes people are struggling. Are you getting my point? They are struggling to solve a problem. Then at the same time, they are working hard to ensure the problem continues because they did not tie the two together. Barack Obama is a joke in that area. He's so vehement, that is, he's passionate, let me put it like that, that's a better English, in his desire to ensure that his country is good. But at the same time, he does not understand that everything in life has limits. Liberty has limits. There is no eternal, forever, complete liberty. You know, just liberty, anything you want to do. That's actually bondage disguised. Liberty that doesn't have boundaries is bondage in disguise. Go and read Frank Peretti's This Present Darkness. That girl, Sally Beth Rowe, in that book, she was a satanist. At the point in time, she said she desired, she was lamenting herself that she was like a child, I can't remember the details now, who was restricted. Then she desired for freedom. Then she fought for it and got it. Then after she got it, she began to wish for the boundaries. She began to look for fence. Show me where I can go and where I can't go. Everything God gives you in life, there must be a boundary. God gives you liberty, doesn't mean you can do everything you like. That was when he gave Adam, you can eat every one of these trees, but and that one, don't go near. Somebody said this once, so true. He said, even Joseph, he got to the house of Potiphar. Everything was under his control, apart from Mrs. Potiphar. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want food? No problem. You want all the female slaves? No problem. But Mrs. Potiphar, that one is a boundary. And the man understood that, and that was the reason he went far in life. My brother Obama thinks that no, it's not so. If you fall in love with a man, why can't you marry him even though you're a man? That if I say you can't marry him, I'm being discriminatory. Listen, certain things in life must be held sacred. Please, you must get my point. Certain things in your life must be sacred. And that's how God did it. Finally, you are going to read my book, Sex, Worship and Sex Control. All right? It will come out one of these days. All right? It's been written in my head for years. Just to bring it out, that's what the issue is. Because if you look at it, it looks to the man who doesn't believe in God that all there is to sex is just physical activity. Except that it's not true. Physical activity is a way by which we express spiritual activity. That's just the way it is. In this sphere, spiritual activity is expressed through physical activity. That's just the way it is. Do you know how your body connects the realm of the spirit is affected by what you eat and what you don't eat? What enters into your ears decides whether you hear God or you don't hear God. If you wake up every morning and it's Bob Marley that's jamming on one side, what's the name of this backsliding brother? Your friend, Olayinka, the bunch, is jamming on the other side. You won't hear heaven. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? If God likes to be shouting, jokes, jokes, I'm talking to you. He said, come, God will have Kaya now. He'll be shouting. How do I know? When Elisha wanted to hear heaven, he said, bring me a minstrel. All you noisemakers have been making a lot of noise. This sinner of a king, Ahab, has come here to make noise. He has brought all kinds of noise. What is all of this noise? Bring me a minstrel. Let me remove the distractions you guys have become in my presence by minstrel playing. That's why I told you, the fast of God is not hunger. Some of your hunger does not let you hear heaven. It's a coolness of spirit. It's a quietness of your body. It's a distraction from, you know what I'm saying? A removal of yourself from distractions. That's what fasting is as a Christian. People think that the hungrier I am, that it shows I'm fair. No, no. It just means get away from all those distractions. That's just what fasting is for a believer. Because without that, you can't connect with heaven. Take a message to Obama and people like him. That you're making a mistake if you think life is all about this physical side of it. That is why, see the scriptures, there is never, listen, everywhere there's idolatry, there's sexual promiscuity. Everywhere there is idolatry, there is sexual promiscuity. And I make bold to say, it is a sign, listen, it is a sign of whether a man is walking with God or he's not. If you hear that this man is a preacher, he's always preaching. Then one day the father has been committing adultery. Let me tell you the truth. He wasn't serving God. He was preaching. He was not serving God. He was preaching. I'm not saying he wasn't preaching. Because I've read the scriptures enough to know that many people preaching don't believe in God. And when you see it, God said, Paul was speaking in Romans chapter 1. He said, it's only when people deny God that it now gives them over to the depravity of their minds. People have won the American Supreme Court. Listen, you know what you're going to do? Just rule in favor of homosexual marriages. And you don't realize what you have begun. Because after that, one man is going to come with his estranged daughter. They have not seen in 20 years and say, I want to marry her. And you won't be able to say no. Why will you say no? They are both consenting adults. The girl is 22, the man is 42. I mean, he might have had that when he was 20. The same law that says incest is bad is the same law that says homosexuality is bad. The same law of God. Why am I saying all of these things? So you see people get up. What they are doing outwardly is a sign of how their hearts have departed from God. And their outside activities, the multitude of their traits, the Bible says, starts filling the center of them with wickedness. They deny God.
They deny him in every way. What they don't realize is what Bible calls it sin. By that, death comes into the system. Death manifests, of course, in sicknesses in the body and the mind. It manifests in sicknesses in businesses, in marriages, in the military, in everything. Among the things that I teach my students, what they call, of course, you know it, systemic hypertension, the common hypertension. And I always, anytime I want to start the subject, I say, why is it called the silent killer? It's always my first few minutes after I start the subject, why is it called the silent killer? And I always answer like this, of course, I begin to explain, that it is destroying the body, destroying the heart, destroying the kidneys, destroying many crucial parts of the body, and the person does not even know he's sick. He lives with it for 20 years. That the first day he finds out that he's hypertensive, that hypertension has done a critical damage in his body, which many people find it hard to recover from. And that is why it is called the silent killer. Iniquity is a silent killer. That's what I'm saying. It is a silent killer. It infiltrates a system where men have prospered. It infiltrates a system where men have done well. It begins to break them down. They don't realize it. After all, we have prospered. And that's why he said it like this. Thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Why was he saying like that? Because men are likely to forget. They will deny God and they will still prosper. Because the blessings of God, they are like that. They have kicked in. So difficult to reverse them. Sometimes God takes an oath, and even he will refuse to reverse some blessings. He'll just remove you from the center of the blessing. So people often get confused. They are blessed. Everything is going happily with them. They are the strongest nation in the world. They have some of the best scientists. Some of the best, medical advancement is there. A lot of things are going on well. Everybody wants to come to our country. They don't realize that it is the Lord thy God that gave thee that power to get it. So when you deny God, the case sets in. Like I talked about silent killing, you don't realize it. Silently, the case sets in. It's spoiling everything. Silently, people are beginning to lose it. They don't realize. The day the thing finally begins to manifest, it's too late. What am I talking about? Let me get back to my message. My message is about death. Death is when that decay has worked in. It's beginning to spoil everything. But the emphasis in this, our teaching right now, is that it comes by sin. That's why I'm not saying all of these things. You can't just disobey God and think it's okay. God made life. He has a manual for it. Our message is the work of Christ. What did Jesus do to solve it? That's what we are talking about. Now, let me read a few scriptures, all right, to add to the one we have read. Okay, there are two things I'm going to explain today. I don't know which one of them I'll reach. But remember what I said last time. Let me just remind us. When Adam sinned, he allowed Satan to come into the earth, and he came with his hordes of demons, and began to tempt the descendants of Adam. And every one of them will fall for that temptation. And by the time Jesus Christ came, Satan said something, and he said it boldly, was able to brag on it. They say all these kingdoms, they belong to me. People said it was at the beginning Adam handed over to Satan. I've read that. I believed it for a long time. Then I studied and realized it could not have been so. All right? The reason is that when David reigned, Satan couldn't say that. Are you getting my point? If you had a righteous king, Satan wouldn't brag on that. What happened was that at that particular point in time, that's one lesson for all of us. The world was in the most crucial point. Satan had taken over everything. And that was when God stepped in. Satan had to negotiate for each one of those kingdoms of men. And you must understand that. I'm leaving my message, but I'll come back, all right? Just let me press pause there. Let me just get over to this. And that's why in life you have to be careful. What you are fighting for, what you are fighting about in life is not just prosperity. It's not just your own comfort. You are fighting for things that are bigger than such things. When Satan made that statement to the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was tempting him, read the story in Luke chapter 4. Also Matthew chapter 4. You read those stories there. He said that these are the kingdoms of the world, and they've been delivered to me. Bow down, worship me, and I'll give them to you. I want you to understand something. Satan at that point had taken everything. Don't be deceived to think it was Adam that gave it to him. It was not Adam. It was the people that lived at that time and their ancestors, that is, the last three generations. How did they give it to Satan? It was by falling for his temptation. Don't ever forget this. Satan does not have power. The way people think, he can't just wrest a kingdom by force. All he can do is to tempt. He has gone through his machinations and the people around had fallen for him. Kings, look at Israel. A man took his brother's wife and he was ruling. Are you getting what I'm explaining? That's how people give it over to Satan. A king threatens another one. One, there is an Israel, the king of Judah now, will strip the temple of gold and send it to go and bribe a king to come and help him fight his enemy. What's he doing? He's selling over to Satan. A man wants power. He sacrifices his first son on the altar of a false god, Molech. Why? He wants power. He gets the power, but he has sold that authority to the devil. It's very common these days in our own society. These people join cults because they want power, they want money. Listen to me, those are the negotiations that Satan has to go through all the time to retain that his control. So in your life, understand this. You're not just fighting for money. And it's so that you prosper or not. You're not just fighting for your life self. You are fighting one fight to ensure that any kingdom you are in charge of, Satan can never open his mouth and say, everything belongs to me. Do you get my point? Listen, life is spiritual. Don't ever forget it. What you are seeing physically right now is very temporal. That is, there are people that are rich and God, that physically speaking, God said, you don't realize you are poor. And there are those that physically speaking, they are poor. But God said, this fellow is very rich. What am I saying? If you stand in a position and you reject the temptations of Satan, you have become rich, even though physically you don't have anything. If you heard me say amen.
Amen.
Very important. Very important. People often misjudge this thing. They think that man did it and look at what he has done. And we were telling you that time. You thought you were, are you the only Christian here? Are you the only Christian? Listen, I'm guarding a post. You must understand this. I'm guarding a post. I am saying that as far as I am alive, Satan will not rule here. Let me be poor. Let me trek. But as far as I am in charge, Satan will never open his mouth and say that all these kingdoms have been given to me. Let me be the poorest lecturer in that university. Let me be the only one who taught for 35 years and did not build my own house. I don't care. But I will be able to say, I was one head of department that nobody was able to pay to get one mark from. That is, Satan did not rule that one. That's what we are fighting for. It's not even when I get home, I'll say, Father, I'm sorry. God knows you are sorry too. I don't know whether I get my point. As we were doing it, he knew you were sorry. He knew he didn't understand what you were doing. Whether you are sorry or not, you sold the kingdom. I don't know what I heard I said. You're sorry or you're not sorry, you sold the kingdom. That is the point. Many of our people enter into politics. Listen to me. It is not where you got to and what you did that when you got there, it's not only that matters. In my opinion, it is less important than how you got there. Go and read Psalm 118. Read Matthew chapter 7. Both David and Jesus said it. Enter by the narrow gate. Because broad is the one that leads to destruction. That is, it is how you enter that determines what you get. It is not where you entered. I don't know what I get on saying. He said, enter by the narrow gate. Because broad is the one. And wide is that road that leads to destruction. David said in that Psalm 118, he said, open for me the gates of righteousness. The righteous enter by this one. He said, I want the gates of God. That is, we are entering the same thing. You are going to be a governor. You are going to be a senator. You are going to be a president. Yes, all of us will be governors, senators, presidents, whatever it is. We'll be internationally renowned evangelists. Let's bring it out to spiritual angle. Are you getting us? We'll be rich men. Richest black man in Africa. richest black man under the age of 35. You know those kind of things. Those things men fight for. Worldliness. Yes, we'll be rich. The richest married woman before the age of 45. You know, Forbes will look for how to put your name there too. But that's not what matters to God. What matters to him is, how did you get there? That is what determines whether it is Satan that's ruined that kingdom or it is not. I tell my brethren, you're entering into politics. There's only one thing you do as a politician, buy form. Anything beyond that is not of God. I don't know. You understand what I mean by that? Enter allegiance, don't sign any paper. So you will never get there. Say, look, you don't understand how is what we're talking about. It's not where. God spoke a word to David. Direct. No, you know, there are times you pray and you're not even sure whether it's your thought or your mind or your friend's mind or your phone that spoke to you. You don't know who. David's own was not like that. David's own is that he got home. Read the whole Bible. After Moses, the next prophet mentioned as Samuel, one of the most credible prophets that ever lived, who the Bible said expressly, not one of the words that he spoke ever fell to the ground. That man walked into the life of David, poured oil on his head, and said, God has anointed you king amongst his people. Then a day came, Saul, the reigning king, who had been pursuing him, was just there under his power for him to strike and kill. And one of his men said, don't worry, you don't have to do it, sir. I will do it myself, and I swear to you, it will be painless. Yeah, that's why he said, I won't do it twice. And those men, trust them, they knew how to do it. David said, no, I'm adding many words. It's not just where, it's how. It must not be on record that in climbing to that throne, I killed the king that was there. It's not just where, it's how. Now, I told you I'm taking a small detour, right? Not just by the way for us to understand it. In this life, it's not just yourself you are fighting for. You are holding a kingdom, and Satan must never be able to say that this one, I'm in charge of that kingdom too. No. I'm sorry to say it. Many ministries are even ruled by Satan. Don't think it's the name you call it. El Shaddai, Jesus Christ, redemption, sanctification, incorporated deliverance and evangelistic apostolic ministries. Satan can mean the Lord. And Satan is very interesting. He doesn't care what you preach. Oh, God, I pray you get what I'm saying. Once he has taken you, put you in his pocket, you can go to church and preach on holiness. It doesn't concern him. Say, Pastor Banks, what are you talking about? Oh, my God. How do I know? Paul was preaching. And one small girl was following him and his friend about. And he was repeating the words, these are servants of the Most High God who have come to show us the way of salvation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why was the Satan inside her not saying, no, don't say it. Don't say it. They will believe him. No, he knew nobody was going to believe. Oh, God. God, read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. You can hear and not understand. You can see and not perceive. That's why Satan doesn't mind TB Joshua saying all those, Jesus is Lord. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as I have the guy in my pocket, as every Jesus is Lord, he says, only leads men to hellfire. That's why in your life, don't strike any deal. Just any deal that comes because we help you make progress in life. Many Christians, they don't know. They now return and start giving offerings. Because they've struck deals. They've entered into high positions by making deals with Satan. Of course, let me tell you something again to you. There are those who go to shrine to bow. Ooh, Amadioha. Ooh. There's one film that time. Raging Storm, Olohi. I don't know how many of you saw that film. A lot of people do that, but most of the people don't go near shrines. Most people in Western world, they don't know where shrines are, but they serve Satan just as much. They do. You want to know whether you are serving Satan? Just see the kind of agreements you are making each time you are making progress. You are a Christian, a businessman. You decide to do business in government office. You are always giving them cut. You are serving Satan. They are using you to inflate contracts so as to defraud government. You are serving Satan. I don't care how much tithes and offerings you bring back to church from that money. That's your kingdom. Satan will brag over it. He will offer it to somebody else. Bow down, you see that guy, forget what that one he's doing. I blessed him and I prospered him. Listen, let me say it straight. You are, as a Christian, say, if you don't do that, you won't make any money. Why should you make money? Why can't they just make a good name, make righteousness, make holiness, and go home? Why can't they just do that and go home? Is government the only client in the world? Are they not individuals? Why not walk into that office and say, hey, wait. Me, I'm a child of God. Hey, pastor, you don't come. Yes, I have come. I'm not giving any of you one cobble. I hope you understand. We won't give you the contract. And let me tell you something, by the way. See, oh God. I say today, this is my message. We'll preach on later. May I just say, Abby? May I just the gist? Let me, one of the things, listen, Christianity, go and read my, listen to my series, Walking Divine Authority. I explain some things. There's a place you will get to in life, having lost, having suffered, having been denied. A time will come, a man will say to you, listen to me carefully. A man will say to you, you don't bring the money, you won't get this job. Say to him, if I don't get the job, you will only be on 2 days. You don't say such is out of desire. Hunger will have wired you a few years ago because of righteousness. And you say to the man, you will die midday by lightning from above so that they will know that your death is not natural. God is not always kind. You know what I'm saying? Kind. He said, guard your sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty. You think they guard sword to go and play? So yeah, you think it's in a film? So the director said, do one like this 3 times. No, this one had to kill. He said, write down prosperity, prosperously and in majesty because of truth. That is, a time comes, God says, I want to go and execute truth. Anybody who stands against it, I kill. Christians pray too many nice prayers. Let me tell you the truth. You must understand that it's kingdoms you are fighting for. At least your one issue now is that once I build the company, Satan will not be able to brag and say that all of this I can give to anybody because they have been delivered to me. Say, this one, I am not delivering it to you. I bid for my job, I put my papers in, and I walk away. I'm not marking anything up with half a penny for any devil. I'm sorry I'm not doing it. And let everybody know I'm not doing it. The worst you can do is to deny me of the job. But the time comes in my life, people will become afraid of denying me of the job. They will say, who quoted? It's not that pastor. He said, he's the one. Is he a pastor of the church? No, he's not a pastor of the church. Just like the last guy who offended him. We buried him 3 weeks ago. I hope you heard what I'm saying. What am I explaining there? It's not just about what I'm getting or what I'm not getting. It's so crucial that you understand that in your life, Satan must never be able to brag over your own kingdom. It's so crucial that you understand that in your life, Satan must never be able to brag over your own kingdom. And what was I saying there? Is how you get there. Read that. Let's just read that Psalm 118. Just be that we read it, all right? Just for the sake of reading. Let me just start from verse 16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. He says, I will not die, but live, and tell of the works of the Lord. Let me not digress too much. Something just struck me here. You know, I keep on saying this all the time. No man says, I will not die but live, except he looks like he's going to die. You can't see me eating, all right, all kinds of food. I'm not telling you that I will not go hungry. Yeah, can you be going hungry? But you are eating. I will not die but live. It means simply, things may not be working the way they are supposed to work. But don't worry, I am not going to die. I will live. He now said, why am I in the difficulty I'm in? Why am I having challenges? He said, it is simply because, verse 18, the Lord has disciplined me severely. But I will not die. Why? Because he has not given me over to death. Do you get the point? He now said, how do I get out of where I am to where I really want to be? How do I get out of my difficult situation into my open place, into my place of abundance, into my place of prosperity, into my place of security? He said, open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. That's verse 19. I shall give thanks to the Lord. He said, this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. He said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let me say this to you simply. I don't want to sit analyzing this scripture, but there's something I want to bring out here, verse 21. He said, I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me. How Christians get out of their rough places is simply by making a request to God. They don't negotiate with people. They don't sign agreements. They don't walk in unrighteousness. They simply make their request. He said, when God will do it, we will know that it is the work of God and it is marvelous in our eyes. He said, that's verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. Very important. Listen, if we understand this rule, Satan will not win in our lives. Know that anything you are going to get in life, you ask God for it and that settles it. When he finally breaks out upon you with his breakthrough, with his righteousness, all right, with his mighty power, then everybody will know only God did this. That way, Satan will never, ever be able to point to your kingdom and say that it has been delivered to me. Many people don't know this. They go by the gates that are not the gates of God. I've been poor all my life. This is now my passport to prosperity. You now join those who, when they want to record those who ruin the country by inflating contracts, your name is there. The contract can be rightfully executed for 15 million naira. Then one accounts director who's pretending to be a Christian, who's going to hell anyway. Everyone are going to hell. Not look, if you're a true believer, let me say it again. You're not going to hell. It's all those people who are not true believers, who are pretending to be Christians. No matter the amount of money they give, listen to me, they will likewise perish. So you find people like that, who okay, praise God, amen, the Lord is good, he's a liar. He said, no, you see, this wealth of the world, we have to collect it, amen. So, Oga, just put it there, just 45 million, all right? You know, have you ever heard this joke before? Some government officials were interviewing people for a job. So let's use the same 15 million naira. They asked one man, the first guy to come in, how much for the job? He said 15 million. He explained. He said, all right, you go out and go and wait. The next guy came, he said, it's 30 million. How come it's 30 million? He talk. It's the last guy I want to talk about. How much is it? Oh, he said 15 million. 45 million, the last fellow. One man came and said, we'll do the same job very well for 15 million. He said, wait. Board members, wait. This is how we do it. 15 million for you. 15 million for me. And 15 million for that professor who wants to do the job. Do you get the point? 15 for you. 15 for me. And that man who said he would do it well for 15. We'll give him 15 million. And the job is nicely and effectively executed for 45 million. You look at each other and say, okay, that makes sense. That's good arithmetic. Good satanic calculation. No. There are things as Christians. We'd rather trek than drive a car bought from such proceeds. Let's trek in righteousness.